Father, we just thank you that we can gather once again. We thank you for revisiting the dialogue with man all the way back from the beginning, and as we're working our way through with the promises to Abraham, and such a significant thing in the Bible, really. And we see the fulfillment of those promises so clearly. But our need today on where we are to continue to pray and continue to move toward those things that you revealed all the way through your scriptures. And so, Lord, guide us today as we look at, we have five I wills in this little section, and we did one of them last week, and we'll do the other four today. And help us to just a very simple instruction, but so profound of your promises there, Lord. So help us to receive. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So last week we had the promise to Abraham setting it up, and it was the first call, and that was, go to a land that I will show you. Get out of Ur, get out of the Chaldeans, and go to a land that I will show you. And we know the faith that that took for him to do that. A little shaky. He was supposed to leave his family, and he ended up going with his dad. And ended up going with his nephew, and then his dad died in Turan, and then he finally from then, at that point, went in to the promised land and taking Lot with him. But still, he did it. He's not in the Chaldeans. He's now in this promise section here, and these are the promises. So we had verse 1 last week as we ended, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So we stopped there last week, and now today we will look at verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 is, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So just think of the scope of those blessings there, the scope of those promises there. And you would think, well, that nation of Israel is going to probably be the most populated nation in the world. It'll probably have billions and billions of people, right? Do you know how many Jews are estimated alive today? 16 million. 16 million. Now, with ties in and so forth, they say you can get that number up to 20. But think of that in a world with, 8 billion people? 8 billion. And you got 15 million Jews? I mean, it's just so ridiculously small. Well, nothing will ever happen from that nation. Well, look at the inventions, look at the contributions to art, look at the contributions to peace and everything else. The brains, where are the brains in your phone come from? Where do the brains every time you get on an airplane come from? It's all from Israel. Tiny, tiny little country, tiny, tiny people. But has not God come through on his promises? So he said, first, I will make you a great nation. And nobody can argue that really knows. You can say, well, they're nothing. Pipsqueak, 15 million people, not even worth praying for. Who cares about 15 million? I mean, we got more than that in the city of Los Angeles or, you know, thereabouts, or at least the county. But I will make you a great nation. And the Jewish people have been great. That's 0.2% of the population. And he has blessed them, hasn't he? He is blessing them. Think, his little tiny piece of dirt, they're the number 3 or 2 or 3 fresh fruit producer in the world for export. Amazing. So I'll make you a great nation. And of course, that was one of the reasons that is so great is they're the oldest nation we have. They went, 2,000 years almost without a homeland. No nation has ever kept their identity for over 200 or 300 years without a homeland. That's a miracle of the Lord. So if you want to somebody says, well, I don't think the Lord ever does any miracles. And if they had any sense, they'd listen to you. If they don't, they're, you know, they probably won't. But just look at Israel. Israel's here today. Now, for years, the church got tired of waiting, and all the church fathers at those periods of time and the knowledgeable theologians and all that, they replaced Israel with the church because they said the church is now the thing that's going to last. Israel's done. Israel will never be anything again. And it seemed like for 1900 years that was true. But you know what happened in the World War II? We had the Great Holocaust, and that softened people up tremendously on the plight of the Jew, who was sought after by Hitler to totally eliminate them. I'd been so many times before with Haman and with all the way through with Herod and that kind of a thing. But we had the Great Holocaust, and so the world was softened up. And so about 3 years after the war in 1948, they became a nation. So Israel today is a nation, and it is its own government, and it's a very prosperous nation. And yet, by and large, they do not know the Lord. They know, some of them know the Father, but Jesus said, unless you know me, you cannot know the Father, right? So there's a matter of believing here, which will come through even more strongly in future promises when Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness as the father of our faith. And we're working our way up to that. But he says, I will make you a great nation. And those of us who understand the Bible can see how totally that promise has been fulfilled. Not fulfilled totally spiritually yet, because we haven't gone through the great tribulation and we haven't gotten rid of the chaff, so to speak. And at the end of that, we'll have what? One third will come through. That's what Zechariah says. Two thirds will die. And those all then will be believers, and that'll be a nation then that is totally fulfilled. But they are a great nation now from a lot of different circumstances as you look at in the world. And he says, I will bless you. And has he not blessed Israel? Just think what he's done just in the last month or two. This is not, well, yeah, if you go back to the time of Abraham, he was blessing. He's blessing. Look what he's done. Look what he's done last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. And even the world is saying that. And now the world is talking about Abraham Accord, the Abraham Accords, and they'll keep mentioning Abraham. And I mean, it's just awesome. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And now this is primarily, I think, in a way, talking about Abraham, his name. Think of his Abraham. Who is revered by the Muslims?
Abraham.
Who is revered by the Jews? Abraham. Who is revered by the Christians? Abraham. Not as God, but he's still, his name is there, isn't it? And that's amazing. I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And how he is a blessing. Now here's the promise of how we treat Abraham and his descendants. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Now, if you've ever looked at a summary of history from that perspective of what happens to the nations who turn their back on Israel, one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other goes down. And I believe the reason, one of the big reasons that the United States is being blessed today is because of their treatment of Israel. And when that day ends, then we will plunge it. And along with the rest of the world. But I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? That is very clear. And we see another wave now again of a rise in anti-Semitism. Isn't that amazing? I mean, in the face of so many things in the world, how could we have anybody hating the Jews? And yet Satan hates them. So he can cause riots, he can cause everything else in that. And we have a rising, particularly the college campuses and so forth, the young people. They don't even know what they're protesting. They just can say they hate the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. And pick up the chant of Hamas. I mean, it's so ridiculous when you think there are those that are supporting Hamas today. Now, I understand if you're a Muslim, you want to kill every Christian, you want to kill every Jew, so you're always going to hate them, no matter what happens. It doesn't happen due to circumstances. And that's where we have. And we've got those in our own government making those professions. And it's amazing, isn't it? I will curse them who curses you. It's kind of interesting in this last 10 days, if you look at so many of the naysayers on the Democratic side of all of the things they had to say about the airstrike and all that, and they want to pick everything apart. They were trying to deny that there was any damage, and it was just a waste of time and waste of effort, and nobody. And one after the other, the world leaders comes out and says how thankful they are that this atomic power has been, nuclear power has been, and they're saying the destruction was so complete. The only ones who are not saying it is some of the early intelligence people, and they say, we don't know how bad the damage was. So they take that statement and say, well, it wasn't destroyed at all. But that's all part of this blessing and cursing here, it seems to me. I will curse him who curses you. And now the last statement here, this is for all of us, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And how is that? Well, it's primarily through the Messiah, right? Primarily through the Son of God coming as a Jew and coming to bring us all eternal life who believe by dying for us on the cross. Where was the cross? In Jerusalem. Where will the temple be that he will reign from for 1,000 years? In Jerusalem. And so it's all wrapped up. The whole judgment coming up after the church is out of here is all centered on Israel. That is where that is, as you know. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So when we think of Israel, think of yourself, because we have the same promises, those who believe in Yeshua, those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who follow him, we're adopted in as well, aren't we? And so if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and those who are his and believe in him, they will be made to become children of God. So if you're a child of God, we're all in the same exact thing. There's no difference between Jew or Greek or Scythian, slave or free. We're all one in Christ, and so he is the head of the church. So that's verses 2 and 3. So let's do it a little differently today. Let's just open up in general prayer. Go ahead and pray for whatever you want, and in about 10 minutes before we close, I'll go and interrupt you, and we'll get our notes out, and we'll go around and pray for the government representatives. Father, we thank you for the reminder of the promises here in Genesis chapter 12, and the powerful dialogue with Abraham of these long-lasting eternal promises being given. And we're living it out. We're seeing these things so clearly coming into focus in so many ways in these last days. And we have more information and so forth and proof given to us than anybody in history. And so, Lord, even as you would say to Chorazin and Bethsaida and so forth, that what was shown to them, more is required of them, and the judgment on them will be even heavier than it was on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I kind of think of that for unbelievers today. An unbeliever today who is not yet turned to you, they have more to substantiate faith in you than anybody in history. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have the whole counsel of God. We have 2,000 years of testimonies of the church. And there's nothing more that we could be shown that we haven't been shown. Pentecost has come, and the Spirit has been put into every believer. So we are blessed. We are so blessed. And help us to be even more grateful and thankful than we are. So today here we are to pray. Here we are to come to you and just bow down and I to praise you, to thank you, and to make intercessions as you lay those on our heart as well. So may we be in just one accord because we're being led by you, Holy Spirit. Teach us how to pray, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your gifts through the Supreme Court decisions this last week. In fact, yes. Just yesterday, the day before yesterday. Constitutional decisions, which in the case of this country are godly decisions, and we thank you for that heritage that you put into this experiment, which is called America. I thank you for Amy Collin Barrett stepping up in these last two cases and leading the dissent against the wrong and speaking out for what is right. And we see you answering our prayers over and over again, and we so thank you for your faithfulness. And while you don't need us to do anything, you do allow us to have tremendous impact through prayer. God remembered Abraham with Lot. And you remember prayers, you remember our hearts, Lord, and we want hearts not about them out there, it's about us. We read in Ezekiel, you just sought for a man. You didn't seek for thousands of men to stand in the gap. You sought for one. And Lord, help us to understand. Maybe there's nobody else around. Maybe the remnant is small. That's not the point. The point is, am I going to stand? Or really, more importantly, am I going to kneel? Am I going to respond to your rebuke, Lord, with that promise? And that it's about 6, 7, 8 months ago, we were sitting right here in this room going through Proverbs, and the very first week was Proverbs 1:23, which is said, turn from my rebuke, or repent from my rebuke, and two great promises. If you repent from my rebuke, I will pour out my Holy Spirit on you, and I will show you, cause you to see, know my word. And so, Lord, there's no two things we'd rather have than to have your Holy Spirit poured out on us and revealing your word to us. And such simple instructions there. What do? We repent. We repent from your rebuke. We turn from it. We do not just accept it and point somebody else and say, it was Eve that gave me the apple, or it was this or that. So help us, Lord. Help us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your promises, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, I'd like to finish off this list now. Darlene, if you would start with Delaware, I think Colorado and Connecticut already been prayed for. We'll pray for just primarily the names boldened in italics as the Lord would lead you. We've got some favorable states here. Indiana is pretty much all Republican. Idaho as well. Georgia, somewhat. Illinois, not so. Florida, somewhat. Delaware, not so. Connecticut, not so. Colorado, really in the middle, not too good. But I didn't put down the Republicans and the Democrats on these representatives. Maybe it should. But for example, like in Indiana, all the representatives are Republican. So where you have the big cities is where we get in trouble, because where the big cities are, it's pretty much all Democratic. And so any state that's dominated by big cities is going to be blue, blue in a lot of ways. Sad, right? But the Lord knows all of that. And again, he is the one. And even as we pray today for Abraham, not to ever cross over the line where we think Abraham is the one. He's just the man that God used. It's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done for us and what he allows us to do for him. And it's all about us. It's not about them. It's not about the church. It is about the church, but who is the church? The church is me, if you think of it that way. And yes, so would you start out there and just do a we'll work our way around and then pray for Hawaii. Six names here. Joshua Booth Green is governor. Sylvia Lake, Lieutenant Governor, the two senators. I don't know about Brian Schatz, but Mazie Hirono, every time she opens her mouth, I just wince, and I pray she would turn to you. Yeah. U.S. Reps Ed Case and Jill Tokuda. So, Lord, I just pray that these individuals would repent and would turn to you, Lord, and they would come to be totally for you instead of against you or mostly against you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Thank you for praying for some of the government leaders. I want to swing back to Abraham here again and close with a great song. This has got about 14 verses more, but this particular version, I've got four. And this is about the God of Abraham. This is not about Abraham. This is about the God of Abraham, but it's praising him. Yes. Such a favorite song of so many old heroes in the faith. But the God of Abraham prays, who reigns enthroned above, ancient of everlasting days, and God of love. Jehovah great I am, by earth and heaven confessed. I bow and bless the sacred name, forever blessed. The God of Abraham prays, at whose supreme command from earth I rise and seek the joys at his right hand. I all on earth forsake, its wisdom, fame, and power, and him my only portion make, my shield and tower. He by himself has sworn, I on his oath depend. I shall on eagle's wings upborne to heaven ascend. I shall behold his face. I shall his power adore and sing the wonders of his grace forevermore. Wow. The whole triumphant host give thanks to God on high. Hail, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they ever cry. Hail, Abraham's God and mine. I join the heavenly lays. All might and majesty are thine, and endless praise. So let's sing this together, if we may. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us so much with each word of it. And we thank you that you've written it down and help us to be in it,
yes.
Understanding it, chewing it, meditating over it, and help us to spend that time alone with you, Lord. Help us to kind of just maybe be a little conscious day by day in the next week. And how much time are we really spending with you alone? And Lord, I shudder to think comparing that amount of time with time I spend looking at the phone or something like that, of all kinds of distractions which pull me away from you rather than being quiet and being drawn to you. So Lord, bless and guide each one because they came, and may we be instruments of your light and salt and love. May people see your peace in us, patience, and loving kindness, Lord. More love to you and more love to one another. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.